Welcome to a Catalyst for Change podcast, where we are a catalyst to inspire compassion among people, promote collaboration with leaders, and build capacity for programming.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Catalyst for Change podcast. My name is Liz Cook. I'm the Director of Communications for Support After Abortion. Thank you so much for being here with us today. I want to proactively apologize for our cameras this morning. We both were experiencing some technical difficulties, but we wanted to make sure this interview happened so that everybody could hear these wonderful words and hear from the wonderful Jay that I'll be introducing in just a second. So thank you, everyone, for your patience, and we're so excited to have you here today. Again, I am Liz Cook from Support After Abortion. My guest today is Jay Neese, and he is from St. Louis, and I'm going to offer Jay some time to introduce himself and the organization that he works for.
Good morning, everybody. Like she said, I'm Jay. I am the editor of the Catholic Missourian. We're the newspaper of the Catholic Diocese of Jefferson City, Missouri. We cover 38 counties in central and northeastern Missouri. And that's 22,000 square miles, and it's about 100 parishes and missions. So they like to keep me busy here. But I'm headquartered here in our Catholic Chancery in Jefferson City, which is very close to our state capital.
That is fantastic. Thank you so much for the work that you do. And that's why I'm so excited to have you as a guest today, Jay, because I think you can offer so many great insights into the abortion healing movement, right? And the need and the importance for this movement, and working in the field that you have for so long. Can you kind of walk me through what you've experienced with the pro-life movement in the past and how you see this shift to include abortion healing and why that is so important?
Well, I think it's becoming clear that there are a lot of people that nobody realized were carrying the burden and the self-imposed stigma of having participated in some sort of an abortion in the past, either as a party to somebody making that decision or having made that decision themselves. And there's a sense of feeling judged and feeling not worthy. And that's just not compatible with being followers of Christ, for us to allow that or for somebody to have that feeling there. There's always a door open for forgiveness and healing and reconciliation and restoration. But the community has to be a party to that. You know, people have to realize that they can come forward and they can be relieved of this burden that they've been carrying, and that there's unconditional love within their families and within their communities, within their support networks. And we've got to make sure that, you know, we're there to provide that. So people need to know that they're unconditionally loved and that the door is always open for reconciliation. And I think as the pro-life movement has grown in strength and in stature, some people might feel left behind by it. You know, for us to make a strong message that any activity is, you know, not justifiable, that it's not necessary, you know, there are going to be people maybe who have done that, and they're going to feel like they're left behind. But we've got to make sure that we bring everybody along, and we realize that everybody has fallen, and that we all have to help each other get back up. So that's kind of, and I think that's an understanding that I have been coming into as a result of being around so many other people who are a lot wiser than I am, a lot closer to God than I am, and they're sort of been pulling me along in that direction. And I really appreciate them doing that.
That is absolutely beautifully put, Jay. Thank you so much. And thank you for your honesty around, like, you know, how you've come to this place as well. And it's really, you know, it's being surrounded by people who can inspire you and who challenge you to think differently, right? And that's
interesting, right?
Go ahead.
Forgive me. Go ahead. Well, I just have something in my hand here. I wish I could show it to you. A friend of mine gave it to me a long time ago. It's a little polished rock, the kind you might put in your front yard. And she wrote first on it. And I just have been sitting in front of my computer on my desk for many, many years. It's the first stone, which, you know, the scripture reference of let he who is not sin cast the first stone. And then everybody walked away and Jesus said, I don't you know, isn't there nobody to condemn you? Well, I don't condemn you. This reminds me of that story. And I really, really appreciate my friend Pat Lair for giving this to me, because she's one of the people that you just talked about who has helped to lead me down this path of a better understanding.
And certainly, again, thank you for sharing that. And that's absolutely beautiful. And certainly there's hesitation, right? I think we can all admit, and if we're all being honest with ourselves, when somebody presents this idea in this, you know, this perspective of like, yes, we know abortion is wrong and it obviously hurts a baby and it takes a life, you know, it also hurts a mom and a dad and grandparents and siblings and friends, and so many other people that we haven't, that we've never explored before, right? So certainly when that's first presented, and I think that's challenging for anyone to have their heart and their mind go there. That's why I think it's absolutely amazing your friend was able to give that to you and you opened your heart and your mind. And what would you say to people that still are in that hesitation, right? And still feel that being challenged to look at it, look at abortion healing from a different perspective, if they're still hesitant to do that, what would you encourage them to do? Or how would you inspire them to kind of have that change of heart that you did?
I think it starts with an examination of my own conscience. And that's an ongoing thing. That's not a once, sure, you know, a once thing. It's that I have fallen very often myself and have needed to pick myself back up with the help of people around me. I have been in a position where I have had to confess my unworthiness to the people around me. And I have experienced acceptance. And I also know what it feels like to not experience that acceptance from some people, you know, and it's that's not a place you want to go.
Right.
But even more than that is to almost put yourself in the place of people you love. And to say, you know, not to say that anybody I love has been through this, but what would I say to somebody I love if they came to me and said, there's something you don't know about me, and I think you need to know about it? Well, you know, you start to think about that ahead of time. And you think, these are people I love unconditionally. These are people who have loved me unconditionally. And so as a result of that, I think then you start to say, okay, these are people, the people I love are like the people I don't know. That, you know, there are people out there who I've never met before, but who are carrying this burden. And I'd like to, you know, if there's anything I can do, I'd like to help them. But I think even broader than that is, have I participated willingly or unwillingly in societal structures that make women, young women, minority women, anybody who's at a disadvantage feel like they don't have any other choice? Mm. If that is a culture that we live in, and I think we're becoming more aware of it, but we're not there yet. There are still a lot of people out there who, when they find out that they're pregnant, they don't feel like there's any place they can go. They feel like they have no choice. And part of that is because we live in a society that's not doing a good enough job of making abortion unthinkable. Mm-hmm. And we do that by saying that abortion is bad, but we also do that by saying alternatives to abortion are very good. Motherhood is good. Familyhood is good. Our society is good. And we don't want to do everything for everybody who can do something for themselves. But if somebody is going through a hard time, they need to know that their faith community will be there for them, that their family will be there for them. And yes, their American society will be there for them. So I have to do a thorough examination of my own conscience to say, have I willingly or unwillingly participated, contributed to the circumstances that make some women thought that they couldn't do this? And sometimes it's just societal. It's just, I won't be accepted among the people that I care about the most if I don't make this decision. Well,
yeah,
then we got to talk about that. And we've got to apologize for that.
No, and that
so
is,
that's
such a good point, because it really speaks to kind of injecting and infusing that compassion, right, within our communities. And we do a lot of speaking engagements where, you know, we encourage and we help train and equip people to go into certain settings with compassion. But like you said, you know, how many people have you interacted with in just daily activities, not so much going into a specific setting, but daily activities where you could have displayed more compassion, where I could have displayed more compassion? You know, if I'm taking a walk or going to the grocery store, am I having that compassionate mindset? Because you really don't know who you're going to touch and who you're going to impact and what somebody's going through. And if for a complete stranger or somebody, you know, if they already feel like you're not a safe person, then like you said, we've failed to kind of invite them in to the help that we can give them. And certainly if they have had the abortion, we've then failed to be a safe person that they could say, I'm struggling with this. Can you help me? Right. So that was, that's really beautiful. Thank you. So you mentioned in our phone conversation previously this week that you had the chance to see Viable in Jefferson City on the steps of the Capitol in April of this year. I would love for you to just kind of talk a little bit about your experience watching the play and how you were impacted and how you feel that play can really speak to and help others have that examine of conscience, right, in the abortion healing movement.
Well, I tell you what, we talk a lot about some of the faith-based productions that are out there, and sometimes we tend to create caricatures because we like easy answers. So, you know, the heroes are very heroic and the villains are very villainous and the answers are pretty easy to discern if you just open your mind. It's all there waiting for you. And I think we all know that life is a lot more complicated than that when it's being lived. What I found about this production, this very simple production, was that these were very real characters that I almost immediately had an affinity for. I liked them. They're funny. They're relatable. You can tell that they're not caricatures. These are real people. They must be based on real people. And the actors were just very good at playing off the familiarity of one another. So as a result of that, I was drawn into their story. There was a lot of credibility there. Mm-hmm. And in the process of being drawn into their story, I and the people around me, because it was a communal experience. We had been at the Capitol all day trying to examine various aspects of what it means to be pro-life from a prayer standpoint, from an action standpoint, from people out on the sidewalk, from people advocating in the legislature in the very building behind us at that very moment. The whole day was that. And this was like, this is the piece that's going to draw it all together. So we're there in this mindset already. And then we experience this revelation that's being unfolded in the form of a play before us. And it unfolds slowly. It starts out with funny interaction between a couple that I think people could relate to. And it moves right on down the line to discovery that, you know, that we join in the characters in revealing little things. And at certain points in there, you get to see, it's like a pebble in the pond, how much bigger an experience of an abortion could be. Mm-hmm. But I found that when I was trying to explain it to somebody I know pretty well, I explained it to her and she started to cry. And it's because she's got some adult children. And I think for a second she was able to imagine, what would it be like if one of these weren't in my life? Mm-hmm. You know, it's sort of it's a Wonderful Life movie situation. You know, what is the world like without you? And I think through very, very clever dialogue and good storytelling, people are able to see this from another mindset. And I think it's easy to miss two aspects of it. And I don't want to be a spoiler here, but it's easy to miss two aspects of it. One is to be focused on the intergenerational aspect of the impact. You know, to be aware while anybody's watching this that they need to see how this play is addressing that the repercussions of a bad decision could go from one generation to the next.
Yes.
And the other thing is the deeply spiritual aspect of the resolution there. I think it's very important for people to take their own reaction to this, like the characters would, and be invited to take those to God and lay them at his feet. So while people are watching this, I would really like to see them be very aware of that, because that's something that reached out and grabbed me. But I wanted these people to be happy. I wanted the folks who were being depicted before me to enter into some kind of resolution of what's been going on there. And so that was something that I was holding on to through the whole thing. Whether or not that happens, well, I guess people are going to have to go see Viable to find out whether or not it comes
to fruition. That is true. But What an amazing articulation of the impact that it had. And I loved how you said, you know, from the beginning, you liked the characters, right? They were very relatable. They make the uncomfortable topic of abortion seem very real and something that you can relate to, not in the sense of, you know, only those who have had an abortion could relate, but just in the sense of, do you know someone? Are you struggling with something in your life that is unhealed? And you touched upon such an amazing point, and something we speak often about is the generational aspect, right? And how that's carried down. So we have, you know, grandmothers and mothers who have had abortions that have unknowingly handed down that trauma, right? Because there hasn't been enough of a push or enough of an access to healing. And once we can heal them, you know, from the pain and the shame of their abortion and the regret and the anger that they feel, once we heal that, we heal them holistically too. And we heal different aspects of men and women that maybe happened long before their abortion and maybe led them to this decision to have the abortion, right? The wound of abandonment that can happen sometimes in childhood. Did that lead to an abortion decision as an adult? So we don't just do the abortion healing, right? But like, let's heal all of that's underneath so that you not only are the best version of yourself for your family, but you're not making the same destructive decisions over and over again. I love that you caught that from the play. That's the first time speaking to anybody about the play that theme has popped out for them. So that's fantastic. And certainly it does have that very powerful spiritual aspect of, again, whether you've experienced an abortion or not, but really just laying down all of your burdens and all of your worries and concerns to God so that he can completely heal you, and surrounding yourself with, like you said, the people that are going to inspire you and challenge you, but also love you compassionately and be there for you every step of whatever journey it is that you're on. So thank you for that. And certainly, yes. And I love when people bring this up too, is that there was a lot of moments of humor in the play too, which again, I think it adds to the relatable factor a lot. And they become just anybody you would experience in everyday life, people within your family. It is just a very refreshing and beautiful portrayal of, and in a play that's in the pro-life movement to really inspire people to leave and say, okay, well, is there anything in my life that needs healing, right? Or how can I deliver this healing on whatever level to people that are in need? It certainly speaks to that too. So thank you very much for that.
I think it also speaks to what can we be proactive about? And I think it starts right in our families. The people who are closest to us, if someone comes to us and says, I am in a situation that I don't think I can handle, I think the first thing we say is not, you can handle it and I'm here for you. I think the first thing we say is, I love you unconditionally. I want to spend all eternity with you because I enjoy your company. I am a better person because I know you. Then say, now that we've got that out of the way, what can we do to help you? But I think the message has always got to be, you are worthy. You are loved. I am better because I know you. You lead me closer to God by your very existence. And then what can we do to help you? Because I think if we ask some of the folks who will come out and say, I'm dealing with this burden, they say, I didn't feel like I had anybody I could tell. I didn't want to disappoint the ones I loved.
Right.
Well, yeah, we're going to disappoint the ones we love because we're human. We're all going to make terrible mistakes and we're going to disappoint the ones we love. But I think they want us to come to them. And if they don't really want us to right now, they'll get there. You know, I mean, people are going to be shocked when we tell them something.
Yes. And it's our responsibility to make sure that everybody has that person, right, that feels like that will invest that love in them. So like you just said, maybe it's not your family right now, but how could we, as somebody who's not someone's family member, just be a friend to them or just be a loving person, you know? And how are we just always in the back of our mind or very much in the forefront of our mind displaying, I am a loving, compassionate, safe person for anyone. So that, again, if it can't start in the family, right, it starts somewhere. And someone has that feeling of being worthy and feeling of being worthy, feeling of being loved unconditionally. I think that's the main point, is always to lead with unconditional love, because that's how God loves us, right? So that, and that's essentially what we're called to do every day, is just practice unconditional love for everyone.
I think on the other side of it is, not everybody is going to come to us with tears in their eyes. Some people will come to us with clenched fists and teeth and rage. Anybody who has been to a controversial pro-life event will, the folks we kind of refer to as those people. And sometimes it's like they're possessed by demons. There's so much anger. There's the screaming. It is primal. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's like survival. It's like somebody is drowning and they're trying not to drown. And to look at that with compassion, well, you know, that takes God, because I can't personally do that. When somebody is screaming obscenities at me at the top of their lungs, what they're saying is, my gosh, help me. Mm-hmm. You know, very often these are people who have experienced 1, 2, 3, 5 more of these abortions. And for them to be able to say this, not just once, but however many, or how many other folks they've led into the mindset that this is a good thing, you know, that's going to be, it's hurting them.
Right.
Sometimes that's why they're lashing out at people who are trying to give a good, honest pro-life witness. So it's not just the people who come to us and say, will you help me? It's the people who come to us and say, I don't respect anything about you. You know, you're just here to make my life miserable. Well, we got to love them too. We got to show them unconditional compassion. And that's where it's so difficult. My mom said one time, the children who need the most, who need love the most, ask for it in the most obnoxious ways. She wasn't referring to me, I don't think, but she did say it.
That is certainly true. And, you know, and it goes for both sides. And I just presented to Students for Life, and I very much validated that concern, because nobody likes to get yelled at, right? So there's always that fear of confrontation and how am I going to react? And as long as you, again, react in the most loving way, while it seems very off-putting, right? You're doing exactly what God has called you to do. And certainly that applies to the people within our own movement, right? That still might be doing the screaming and the yelling and the leading with condemnation, right? We have to have the same reaction with them and invite them into love, compassion, and healing whatever it is behind their words, and healing whatever that wound is behind, you know, what they yell at women walking into clinics and the signs that they hold condemning them, you know. So it definitely goes for both sides, certainly.
I've seen Kathy Fork, who's very active in the pro-life movement here, with the 40 Days for Life and the 40 Days 365. She stands in front of Planned Parenthood, and she and the people, if she calls out to somebody, she says, we love you, we can help you. Yep. It's not like, don't do that, you're going to regret it. It's, we love you, we're here for you, we can help you. Yes. I think that's the message, is you are loved and help is available. And I think the message has also got to be on the flip side of that. If that hasn't been somebody's experience, I'm sorry.
Right.
If you haven't felt loved, if you haven't felt like I have been a resource to you, I'm really sorry.
Right.
That might be an aspect. If somebody comes to us and says, yeah, you need to know that I did this. Well, first off, you're loved. And the second thing is, I wish I could have helped you. I'm sorry that you didn't feel like you could have come to me. I'm sorry that I live in a society that I share with you where you didn't feel like that you could pull this off with the help of the rest of us.
And that's where that examine of conscience comes in that you were speaking about before. You're absolutely right. That's great. So, Jay, just to wrap things up, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you about the work that you do and the organization that you work for, or if they feel they have anything compelling that they would like you to write about, how could somebody get in contact with you?
The best way to do it is our diocesan online website, and they've just rebuilt it. It's really nice. It's DIO, which is short for diocese, JEFF, which is short for Jefferson City.org. So it's diojeffcity.org. You can contact anybody here in the diocesan offices. You can, you know, there'll be a, there's a email link for me at the newspaper, or anybody, any of the other ministries that we offer as a diocese. And it also puts you in touch with local parishes who hopefully they might have some resources that they would be able to help people as well closer to home.
That's excellent. Thank you so much. And after hearing this podcast, if you'd like to look into any of the resources that Support After Abortion has or any of the virtual healing groups that we offer, please visit us at www.supportafterabortion.com. For more information on Viable and any upcoming shows that we have coming up very soon, please visit www.supportafterabortion.com/Viable for more information on how you could see that amazing, refreshing, beautiful pro-life play in your hometown. Jay, thank you again so much. I'm so happy that Kathy connected us, and we will definitely stay in touch. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you or someone you know has been impacted by abortion, you are not alone. Contact us today at supportafterabortion.com. If you were inspired by today's message, we welcome you to join the conversation by following us on Facebook or Instagram.